I sure appreciate Carl and Dean, their singing. And from the first time I heard either one of them, they did well the very first time, and they just keep getting better and better and better. And that's just incredible. I'm so pleased about that. You would not have wanted to hear my first sermon, that's for sure. You would have just ran out of the church building. Tonight I want to talk, and it will probably be briefly, but about our incredible world. Our incredible world. Start out with a quote from Dr. Jason Lyle, a religious writer who predominantly writes about creation. He wrote, "When the Voyager 1 spacecraft reached the edge of our solar system in 1990, it turned its camera around and photographed Earth. From such a tremendous distance, the Earth appears as a tiny, bluish-white grain of sand lost in an ocean of black. This famous image of Earth is named the pale blue dot. From a secular perspective, that is all Earth is, a tiny bit of rock and water in a vast and meaningless universe of chance. But in the Christian worldview, this pale blue dot is the most important planet in the universe." And it's to that topic that I want to look tonight for a while. And so we're going to look at just a few of the very, very many incredible designs that we see in our world so that life as we know it can exist on Earth. And as I was putting this lesson together this week, I was literally amazed at how many of these incredible designs exist. I mean, literally it would have taken hours and hours and hours to have talked about even the majority of them. So what I did was simply picked out about 10 of the ones that I thought would maybe be the easiest to remember, and the ones that would build us up, because we certainly live in a very special place, a very special world. And I want to start out by looking at the world as far as our galaxy is concerned. I'm sure we remember that we live in, and by we I mean our planet, is in the Milky Way galaxy. Milky Way galaxy. And I know that term is something you've heard many times before. But our planet Earth is located in the Milky Way galaxy. One of many, many planets in the Milky Way galaxy. What's interesting is the galaxy that the Earth is located in is special. And by special, I mean the location of Earth in that galaxy. Because if the galaxy we lived in were a lot larger, in other words, if the Milky Way galaxy were a lot larger than it is, or if it were a lot smaller than it is, then life like this could not exist within it. So the very size of the Milky Way galaxy is suited for life. And all of these things I'm going to mention, there have been probabilities given to each one of these. And I won't go into that other than at the very end I'll mention what they all end up being. Also, our galaxy. If our galaxy were of a different type, there's lots of different types of galaxies in the world. In other words, they have different shapes. When you look at them through a telescope, you would see different shapes of galaxies all over the universe. Well, the Milky Way galaxy is a specific type of galaxy, meaning it has a certain shape. Now, if it had a different shape, in other words, if it was like one of the other types of galaxies in the world or in the universe, life as we know it could not exist. So both the size of the Milky Way galaxy and how it's shaped in the world, in the universe, make it ideal for life. So our galaxy is the right size, the right shape, and it's also located at the right spot in the universe. In other words, where it is located compared to all the other galaxies in the universe, make it just right for life to exist. So kind of looking at the big picture, we have three already. We have three designs, if we want to call it that. I don't know what else to call it. But special designs for where Earth is located in the particular galaxy that makes life possible on Earth. Now, we'll get a little closer. We're going to reduce the galaxy. We're going to come down to our particular solar system. And we know about the sun being at the center of the solar system and the planets revolving around it. If our sun was closer, or if it was further away from where it's located in the Milky Way galaxy, life couldn't exist. In other words, when we look at the Milky Way galaxy and look at where the sun is located in the galaxy, then that's a unique spot. If it was located in a different spot, in other words, if it was located closer to the center of the Milky Way galaxy, or if it was located further away from the center of the galaxy, then life couldn't exist. I'm talking about life as we know it. The plants and the animals and birds and fish and people and so forth. So the Earth, our solar system, the sun, all of that, their position in the great big galaxy is very unique. Is very unique. And we hear so often about finding planets that look like it could support life. Well, when we see at the end of this lesson, we'll see how unique our Earth is. How unique our Earth is, and refer even to a book written just a few years ago called The Rare Earth, written by people that would surprise you as to who wrote it. But it was called The Rare Earth, fairly recent book. And the whole gist of the book is how rare our planet is. Our planet is very, very unique compared to other places. Secular scientists that don't believe in the Bible, don't believe in God, want us to believe that the Earth is just a plain old rock with nothing special about it. But when we start looking at all of these incredible designs, these unique things that make Earth so special, we see that there's intelligence behind it. There's intelligence behind it. And we see that intelligence in the design of the Earth, and the Bible talks about that intelligence. In Psalms 19, the psalmist says this, beginning in verse 1. And I'm sure you will recognize these verses. Psalms 19 and verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." The firmament is basically what we see as we look out the expanse of the heavens. "Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." There we have a divine comment on the sun. He said He set the sun in a tabernacle. And to people living back at the time when this was written, that would make sense, a tent. Because the sun goes away part of the day, doesn't it? So He's describing that going away as the sun being in a tent. Well, then in the morning it does what? It rises and goes all across the circuit until at night it goes back into its tabernacle. And he likens the sun in that text to like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a strong man running its race, goes from one end of heaven to the other, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. And that's exactly right. There's nothing hidden from the sun. So the psalmist, by divine inspiration, describes the heavens, and in particular describes what the sun does. What the sun does. And of course, that was long, long, long before the invention of the telescope. Many centuries before the invention of the telescope. Also, another place that describes the design of our world is Psalms 148. Psalms 148. This is a praise psalm. It's about praising God and praising Him for many of the things that He has done. Psalms 148, we'll begin reading in verse 3. The psalmist writes, "Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away." And he goes on and talks about various attributes and various living things in the world. The Bible says that our world is incredibly designed. And in particular, our earth is incredibly designed. In Psalm 24, the psalmist says in the first two verses this about our earth. Psalms 24. This is considered to be one of David's psalms. And in Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." We'll talk in a moment about the creation of earth back in Genesis chapter 1. Some of the incredible designs that deal specifically with the earth. We know the earth has a very large satellite called the moon. And the moon, many, many planets, of course, have moons revolving around them. But ours is unique. It's unique in that its size is very, very large compared to the size of Earth. And that's unique if you look at the moons of Jupiter or the moons of different planets. You'll see that they're much smaller than the size of the planet. But the moon is over a fourth the size of the Earth in diameter. And no other planet has a moon this large in proportion to its size. Well, that's important. The moon has a function. Of course, we know that the moon helps or aids life on Earth by causing tides. And if you've ever been to the beach, the seashore, you have seen the results of tides. Tides are important for several reasons. One of the things they do is they keep the oceans from becoming stagnant. In other words, they help cause, they're not the solitary cause, but they help cause tides, currents in the water that help keep the water from becoming stagnant. Pretty much the same type of reason why you have the little wind vanes in ponds, to keep them from becoming stagnant. Well, the moon helps keep oceans from becoming stagnant by causing the water to be overturned ever so often. And of course, it helps clean the shorelines. Tides come in, tides come out. Tides come in, tides come out twice a day at all of those places. But also, we know another function of the moon. It provides light at night. It reflects light from the sun onto Earth. And the Bible even tells us that's a function of the moon. In Genesis chapter 1, back during creation week, in Genesis chapter 1, we'll read beginning in verse 14. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. This is on the fourth day. "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. There the moon gives us light at night. Not as bright as the sun during the day, but it gives us light at night. And all of that is by God's design. By God's design. So the earth is unique by having a moon the size that it is. Another very unique feature of the earth is that over 70% of the earth's surface is covered with water. There's no known planet anywhere in the universe like that. It's very, very unique. And water is essential for all life forms on earth. Life forms need water. And so when we look out into the world, there is no other known planet that has water like this in such abundance. It's very unique. Also, and I wish we had time to look at all the ways that God created the earth so that it could have a universal flood. As far as we know, as far as known anywhere, there's no other planet anywhere in the universe that is capable, as far as how the earth's crust and everything is made, that could have a worldwide flood. It's very interesting, but it's a whole different topic that we don't have time for. But earth is unique in that amount of water. We'll be coming back to that shortly. We know that earth orbits the sun, and that orbit is very, very precise. And by precise, I mean it is at just the right location. The earth orbits the sun in almost a circle. It's not quite circular, but it's very close to a circle. Now, if the earth, and I didn't want to bring a lot of math into the lesson, so I didn't, but if the earth were just slightly closer, if the earth were just a little bit closer to the sun, all of that liquid water would have vaporized. There would be no liquid water on the planet. None whatsoever. Earth would simply have been too hot. If, by about the same token, if the earth was just slightly farther away from the sun, all of that water would have turned to ice. And of course, we know what kind of disaster that would have been. So the earth orbits or revolves around the sun at precisely the right orbit or location, distance, so that we can have liquid water over 70% of the earth's surface. And that alone should make people sit up and take notice, because that's a very, very unique design. Also, the atmosphere in which we live. The Earth's atmosphere has a protective layer of ozone. And I know you've heard about the ozone layer. That ozone layer partially blocks ultraviolet radiation. And that's the radiation, or part of the radiation, that comes from the sun. And that radiation can be very damaging to living tissue. But also, some ultraviolet radiation is essential to life on Earth. So it's one of those things where too much can be deadly, but you have to have a little bit to live. So the Earth's atmosphere partially blocks that UV radiation. Something else that goes right along with that is that Earth has a very strong magnetic field. Very strong magnetic field. You've used compasses before, I'm sure, and see how they point, you know, to the magnetic North Pole or magnetic South Pole or so forth. It has a very strong magnetic field, much stronger than many planets its size. Well, there's something that magnetic field does. That magnetic field helps deflect harmful radiation that comes from space. And that's one of its purposes. It's called the Van Allen radiation shield, but that's what it does. It helps deflect that. If we didn't have that strong magnetic field, then we couldn't have life, because that radiation would keep life from existing. But by the same token, if that magnetic field was a lot stronger, we would have huge electromagnetic storms that would be too severe for life to exist. So again, the magnetic field is just right. Not too strong, not too weak. It's just right for life to exist. If you've seen pictures of the Earth in books or magazines, TV, you know that the Earth is tilted at an axis, about 23.5 degrees approximately. Well, that's very important. It's very important that it's tilted, that it's not straight up and down, all right? Or not that it's way over to the side. But it's tilted about 23.5 degrees. And that tilt is very important. That's why we have different seasons. That tilt of the Earth's axis is why we have different seasons. And that's why those seasons are different in the northern part of the Earth as opposed to the southern part. If the Earth were tilted less, there would be a much smaller area for plant growth to occur. In other words, there would be a much smaller area. There would be too severe of a season, all right, in certain parts of the world. And then same, if it was tilted more, those plant growing seasons would also be reduced for the same reason. It would be too severe. So it's tilted at just the right angle to give us just the right seasons for growing, for life, for plants. Earth's rotation is about 24 hours. We know that, how long it exists or how long it is. It's about 24 hours. If it was longer, like many planets are, if it was longer, the temperature extremes would be too great for life. In other words, we would have extremely cold temperatures and extremely hot temperatures. If it was much shorter, like a few planets are, in other words, if it rotated much faster so that instead of 24 hours, it would be 8 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours, we would have winds on our planet of over 500 miles per hour. That'd be very common, 500 mile per hour winds. Well, if you've been watching TV and seen what 200 or 300 mile per hour winds can do, you can imagine what 500 mile per hour winds would do. Twice that strong. So again, just the right rotation. So Earth is in the right kind of galaxy, at the right location in the universe. It's revolving around the right kind of sun, which is at the right position in the galaxy. The Earth is revolving around the sun at just the right distance so that life can exist. It is tilted at just the right angle. It rotates at the right amount of time so that life can exist. One last thing. The atmosphere, going back to the atmosphere. I forgot about this because this is a great example. We know that most of the air we breathe is nitrogen, part of it's oxygen. That's the two main elements in the air that we breathe. Well, the ratio of those, the amount of oxygen compared to the amount of nitrogen, is just exactly right. Is just exactly right for life to exist. I saw this actually demonstrated once in a science experiment. It's very fascinating. If you change that amount of oxygen by 1%, if I'm remembering the experiment right, change it by just 1% more. 1% more oxygen in the atmosphere, life could not exist because plants would burn up. There would not be anything that could burn, would have burned up. Just changing it a tiny little bit. I saw this demonstrated. The man increased the amount of oxygen in this container by 1%. And lit some paper on fire, he couldn't put it out. He could not put out the fire. It just kept burning because of the excess oxygen. If you change the amount of oxygen down, reduce it just slightly, large animals, most of the animals we would think about, couldn't survive, including us. We couldn't survive by less oxygen. Coincidence? No. Incredible design. I think I've gone over, I don't know, maybe a dozen. I read this week of nearly 75 of those. Like I said, it would literally take hours to go over them all. These should show us that the earth is uniquely designed for life. The number of planets in the entire universe is 1 times 10 to the 23rd power, which is a huge number, just enormous number of planets. But when you look at the probability of life existing on Earth, like the Earth being a unique planet, and look at those probabilities that I mentioned, I said every one of these things we've looked at has a probability, a chance. And you look at all of those together, the chance of life existing on any other planet is 1 times 10 or n times 10 to the 99th power. Now, what that means is that the chance of life existing is far, far greater than there are of all the planets in the world. There were two, I mentioned the book Rare Earth, two secular scientists that don't believe in God or creation or anything, was asked about how rare Earth is and why Earth is so rare. And their response was, well, good luck and chance. That's why we're here. That was their response, good luck and chance. Even looking at those unbelievable probabilities, that was their response. But if you do take God out of the picture, well, I mean, that's all that's left is good luck and chance. So how else could you respond? You know, God spent essentially 5 of the 6 days of creation working on Earth, making it just right. He didn't do that with any of the other planets. All the other planets and stars and everything, they were all made in one day. But Earth, He made it just right during 5 of those 6 days. And it was this planet, the one that we live on, is the one that He chose to send His Son to in human form, to die, and then to be raised. This planet. Rare Earth? Absolutely. Incredible Earth? Absolutely. This is the one that Jesus came to. This is the one that He walked in human form amongst people, performed miracles, taught about God, set examples, and then voluntarily died on the cross, shedding His blood. So this truly is an incredible world, an absolutely incredible world. And we are of all very, very blessed because of it. Tonight, if there is a desire in your heart to come and ask for forgiveness, to ask to be baptized, to ask for prayers, whatever the need is, then we certainly encourage you to come as we stand and sing this invitation song.